This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So the guest we have today is a gentleman by the name of Mark Gozer. And Mark Gozer is a native Southern California, so am I, Californian, so am I, a proud father of two kids, so am I, an avid outdoorsman, and home improvement enthusiast. He has served in missions and pastoral ministry for the past 25 years. He is part of Church Resource Ministries, a global missions organization that develops leaders not only for the health of the existing church, but for new church expressions around the globe. So I'm going to start, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you.
I want to start with, because I have a question mark by this, new church expressions around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Great questions. We're finding in a lot of contexts, as not only here in the U.S., but the way that we've been doing church in times past, some of the more traditional forms of worship are not necessarily engaging the surrounding culture. And so with that in mind, as we see church attendance actually in decline in several areas, it's really bringing us back to the drawing board of what does it mean to connect with people outside the church. And so with that comes this whole conversation of new church expressions. And so the conversations that I'm in with leaders around the globe, time and time again, are coming back to that question of how is it that Jesus is inviting us to partner with him in this work of mission in reaching people with the love of Jesus in tangible ways.
You know, in the church that I attend, just this last Sunday, I believe it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, the pastor was talking about that obviously the work starts at home. As head of household, father, mother, and children, it starts at home and then with the community. You know, God says, love thy like God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and then love thy neighbor as thyself, the two first commandments. And so with that, he has suggested that we love our neighbor, which means that you reach out to them because they're not all, you know, believing the same way as we are, and we lead by example, don't we? I hear my neighbors sometimes, they'll be getting in an argument, even in the, you know, like in the garage or whatnot, and I hear that, and I feel saddened, you know, because, well, it's okay to argue, but we need to do it in the right way. It's okay to have disagreements as long as it's done in the right way. So we're called to reach out to even our neighbors, and you're saying that, you know, this culture, I mean, my neighbors, we're all different. I mean, we're not all the same, obviously. We all breathe and put our pants on, you know, one leg at a time. But we're different, and we have our own, you know, desires and fun. So how do you go about doing that? You know, there's small scale, but we have to start, you know, it's like a big elephant. You take it one bite at a time, right? You eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Sure.
So, Mark, how do you go about doing this from your perspective? How do you go about doing what you're suggesting or that you're saying that we definitely know we need to do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sue. And it's not something that is going to happen overnight. But I think, first of all, it comes down to this whole conversation that we're in with God on a day-to-day basis. Where is it that he's inviting us to experience his love? And in such a way that we can then share that experience with others. Because it is really, it's all about an inside-out approach to life and ministry. It's what we experience first with him we're able to give to others. So to be specific as to how we engage our neighbors, I would begin to look at the life of Jesus. What a marvelous example of someone who lived life on mission. Christ stepped out of his element, you know, Philippians, the book of Philippians in the Bible, shares with us the story of how Jesus stepped out of the heavenly realm to come down here to be with us in earth in a very tangible way. And so that really invites us to consider, well, how can we be with others in more tangible ways, ways that are meaningful and valuable to them? What is it like to step into their shoes? Yeah, there's a lot of commonalities. There's a lot of points in which we understand one another, but there's also a lot of ways in which we're unfamiliar with what's going on in their lives. And so it's really coming alongside and living a more, if I can use the term, incarnational posture among them, living among them, doing life with them, becoming involved in their lives. And it's really going out to where they're at. I think the church, in many ways, it's very easy for us to slip into this if we do bigger and better things within the context of the local church building, that maybe the surrounding world and society is going to come to us. But that's not necessarily the picture that the Gospels and so much of Scripture paint for us. It's really us going to where they're at. And that's really the example that Christ provides for each of us as we look at his life and earthly ministry.
And that is true. I look at people that go to church, and there are people that only associate themselves with other church members. And it is good to surround ourselves with people with like thinking, because it keeps us stronger in our faith and the foundation is made. But we're also, once we get that foundation, it is important that we reach out. God reaches out to us. And so, you know, we are required to step out of our comfort zones and to move into, you know, areas unknown. But God's always there with us to protect us and to see us through. As long as we're asking for his guidance, he'll see us through any situation. And I always tell people, you know, it's like, I'm not walking in your shoes. So I can't judge. I don't choose to judge, because, you know, like I tell people, don't judge me unless you're walking in my shoes, because nobody knows exactly what that person's going through except for that person. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
And so, but we are called to walk alongside and to be a support. It says, if any of our brothers fall, be there to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be there to pick one another up. But if we're not present and we're not available, then we can't do that. As leaders, I heard that, you know, God wants leaders that are teachable. And the reason he wants teachable leaders is because if people are so engrossed in their day-to-day activities, which, believe me, as a leader myself and a business owner, we can get overwhelmed with all the needs. And I think of pastors. I mean, me as a business owner of 50-odd employees, you know, I have those needs and pressing issues. But pastors have a lot more, because everybody has this heart need. It's not just maybe a money issue or a scheduling issue, but it's a heart issue.
Sure.
And so many pressures are on them. And to have ministries such as the one that you're discussing and being that you're a part of, mm-hmm. is helping and supporting the leaders and the pastors, because they do get kind of tired.
Yeah.
I would think that there's a burnout issue with not only pastors, but just people that are in leadership. There's a burnout because there's so many people wanting a piece, so many people that are in need. And church is filled with people that are in need.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
People say, you know, oh, I don't want to go to that church anymore because I don't get anything. And I just want to say that, for those that are listening, this is 99.5 KKLA, the Sue Free Show. I always forget to say that. And so if you're just tuning in, this is the station, and you're listening to the Sue Free Show, and we're talking to Mark Gozer right now. But I always tell people that, you know, it's not what you get, it's what you give. And when I go into church, I always ask God, tell me where you want me to sit. Do you have people in your church that always sit in the same seat?
Absolutely.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You know, because there's a comfort zone in always sitting in the same seat.
Sure.
But I always ask God, you know, where do you want me to sit? And you know, when I do that, it's the most amazing thing occurs, because there is somebody right next to me or right in front of me that I can either feel something, or I say hi to them. And it's amazing what happens, you know, if we just let God, you know, direct us,
yeah.
To what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So often we have our own agenda, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I applaud your initiative to be willing to step out of the comfort zone. So I think that's really one of the things that we're up against in the church today, is this need for risk-taking and to be courageous enough to leave behind what, you know, feels absolutely safe and controlled and protected, to be able to venture out into new situations where we have the opportunity to see God move in some really marvelous ways.
Right. I have a question for you, Mark. The burnout rate. Are there any statistics regarding that? Is there anything that is published? I don't even know how you would get those statistics, but is there anything that says, you know, what the rate is?
Yeah, I can provide you some statistics. There's a lot of great books that are out, in fact, on the very subject of burnout for pastors, clergy, and leaders. And you know, it's interesting. There's several factors that contribute to this whole experience of burnout within the life of a typical pastor. Just to give you some ideas. You know that the average churchgoer, they expect their pastors to juggle 16 major tasks. In other words, when you sit down with the average congregational member and you say, well, what should a pastor be doing? They begin to brainstorm, and then we begin to collect just these common threads of expectation that are throughout the congregations. There's typically 16 major things that this pastor is supposed to be doing. Another thing is pastors who work fewer than 50 hours a week are actually 35% more likely to be terminated. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't work or shouldn't work 50 hours a week, but it does kind of intimate that if you're not working exorbitant amounts of hours, maybe 60, 70, or even 80 hours a week, that there's a higher likelihood that you're going to be fired from your job. So there's those kind of pressures. There's the simple fact that 50% of all the congregations in the U.S. are either plateaued or they're actually declining. And so there's this sense of, hey, I'm on the Titanic, it's going down, we need to, all hands on deck, it's an emergency. And so they're living life in more of a frantic pace. Two-thirds of pastors report that their congregations have experienced significant conflict during the past 2 years, so much so that 20% of those that shared of these conflicts said that members were actually leaving the congregation. So these are things that weigh heavily, I think, on the life of leaders who care about other people. You want the best for them. And it's interesting because the typical pastor, as you survey kind of the life cycle of their involvement with churches, his or her greatest ministry impact is really through the years 5 through 14, through your 14th year of pastoring. But unfortunately, the average pastor lasts only about 5 years at a church.
You know, that kind of coincides with entrepreneurs, if you think about it, because businesses, me being a business owner, you know, businesses that last more than 5 years have a better success rate, because usually businesses will not be successful. If they're not successful in the first 3 years, then they kind of dissipate. They just leave. They're no longer, the doors close. And another thing that was brought to my awareness right now when you were talking is the 80-20 rule, you know, which is a burnout too, because, you know, I belong to numerous organizations, Chamber of Commerce's and things, being a pest control operator. There's a lot of different functions that we have to go to and whatnot. And people say, well, how do you do all this? And I'm thinking, well, I don't really have like 5 people to take this on, so of course I have to do it. And someone says, yep, if you want something to happen, if you want to get something done, you ask the busiest person to get it done. And I think that's sad,
yeah,
but true. You know, because the busy people figure out how to be more organized, and they just get it done.
Yeah.
And you find those people that get it done and those that don't. And the 80-20 rule, you know, even looking at my business, I have, 50-odd employees, and I'm thinking about these 50-odd employees. It's not equal work for all of these employees. I mean, I have some people that I can always ask, and they will always deliver. And they tend to do more work. And that happens in church a lot, and that causes burnout, because you're overwhelming the people that are doing 80% of the work. You just keep giving them more. Why? Because they get it done.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And if each person, you know, I hear this a lot, if each person gives a dollar, you know, we could feed, you know, some country. If, you know, but it isn't that way. It's usually a big giver that gives a huge amount, and that's great. But can we keep that going? And it's the same with our time, our talent, our gifts.
Sure, sure.
And I applaud you because I think that pastors do lead, and I do believe that they're overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to give these pastors help.
Yeah.
And you're doing that.
Yeah.
I don't exactly still understand how you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you meet with these people. I mean, how do you find these pastors? You know, do they join an organization? Is it, you know, I mean, I don't understand how this works. So maybe you could explain what it is that your organization, you know, this Church Resource Ministries, resource, what a wonderful word that is.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you go about doing this? How does somebody join your organization, or how do they get involved, or how does that work?
Okay. Well, let me, I guess, give you a little bit of background on the organization.
Okay, that might help.
Yeah. So we're a global missions organization whose primary focus is developing Christian leaders. So we do this in a number of ways, from business for missions, coaching, church planting, social justice, urban ministry. There's any number of ways. But the one thing that we're about is developing the type of relationships that transform communities from the inside out. So in my particular role, I work with leadership communities all over the world in doing this. So more specifically, when we look at the needs of pastors across the board, this is the issue. Many are feel isolated, ill-equipped, and they have deficient support systems to help them navigate through these life challenges that we're talking about. It's interesting when you look at some of these additional statistics. 50% of pastors feel unable to meet the needs of their job.
That's overwhelming to feel that, too.
Okay.
You know, it's, yeah, there's a feeling of inadequacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is a depleter of energy, to be feeling like that no matter what you do, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you support them in that?
So, you know, they're dealing with this, the feelings of being ill-equipped, isolated. They have deficient support systems to help them navigate through life's challenges and through the crisis of life. And it's really not a question, as we look at these stats, it's not a question of if the crisis is going to happen.
They're going to happen.
They're going to happen.
Correct.
I mean, it was interesting looking at some of the stats here.
Those are amazing
40
stats, by the way.
40% of pastors report a serious conflict with a parishioner at least once a month.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just part of life. And we all experience it. You know, it's not that the rest of us don't experience these challenges. All of us do in varying degrees. So we're dealing with this. On top of this, pastors and teachers, or leaders, I should say, are so consumed with ministry that they often neglect their own spiritual well-being and wholeness. You know,
that,
so can you identify with that?
I truly can. For those that are just tuning in, you've missed out, but I'm glad you're on board now. This is KKLA 99.5 FM. This is the Sue Free Show, and we're talking to a gentleman named Mark Gozer. And we've just heard some amazing statistics, and we're going to get further into this conversation. And yes, I can relate to what you just said. It's hard to juggle. I feel like I spin about 50 plates, and when one plate starts to get slow, I have to run over and spin that plate faster.
Yep.
And there's a feeling of isolation, and I've noticed that even with my role, that sometimes my problems, I think they're so small, but yet they can overwhelm me at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, pastors think, oh, it's just me, you know, I can get through this. I can plug through it all by myself. And, yeah, I'm talking about myself, too. You know, I can get through this. I can get through this. And, you know, okay, God, come with me, you know. And the resources, that is such a nice thing to feel that we've got a place to go to get refreshed, just like Jesus went into the desert and got refreshed. Why? Because we all need that. We all need to regroup. We all need a place to go that's safe, to where we can be who we really are and let it. And we should always be who we really are. I shouldn't even say it like that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we have to be leaders, and the people that are following want to know that we're strong and we're capable and we can handle anything that comes our way. But there needs to be a place where we can just relax and take a breath and say, you know what, I'm having an issue. And I need to be real, and I need to have some support here, and I need to have resources to where I don't want to be judged. I just want to know that I have support and that it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay for me to be where I am right now, and it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. And I know there's listeners out there that kind of feel like they have a mask on and that they're trying to just keep it all together. And we don't have to keep it all together. God loves us anyway. But what we do need to do is we need to seek and be humility. There needs to be humility, but we need to seek and we need to be transparent. And that's so hard for leaders to be transparent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you find that to be difficult for the people that you deal with? It's hard?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like there's no safe place. I'm amazed, and it's not just here in the States. It's around the globe. There is this sense that if I really, if people find out that I'm less than perfect, there's going to be hell to pay. I mean, it's, you live in a fishbowl. Everybody's watching you. If you make a mistake, it's going to be broadcast all over the place. And who wants to live with that type of pressure? Well, it
Nobody.
Comes. Yeah, it comes part and parcel. You know, parcel with the
the
calling. Sure,
the calling.
Absolutely. And the Lord knows that.
Right.
But at the same time, we need to have those safe havens in our lives, and that's one of the things. One of the many ways that we come and walk alongside leaders is to provide those types of relationships, those safe networks of peers as they come together on a regular basis, where they can learn with one another and share with each other what's happening in life. And really it becomes also a way that resources, not only just on a personal level of my need for connection with God and with other people, but it also ultimately equips me to better lead those that God has entrusted to me.
Correct, because we have to be real and we have to feel, right?
Yeah.
And you can't really get in touch with somebody unless you can feel. I mean, I just feel like there has to be that. You know, it not everybody experiences the same things, but there's feelings that come and a feeling of isolation. There could be a multiple reasons of why the isolation is there.
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling of isolation is probably the worst thing that a person can experience, and unworthiness. I think that's the other one that the devil just wants us to feel.
Sure.
Is an unworthiness that we don't deserve to have God's love, and we don't deserve what God has for us. And that's such a lie of the devil, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stay tuned past the break, and we're going to reconnect with Mark Gozer, and we're going to talk more about leaders and their trials and tribulations and how we can be a resource and serve one another and make this world a better place to live in.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies like yours choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, E. coli gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new E. coli Heat, using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. E. coli Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call E. coli at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Welcome back. This is the Sue Freeze Show. I'm Sue Freeze, and we're talking to Mark Gozer. And Mark Gozer, if you're just tuning in now, he serves in missions and pastoral ministry, and he's part of the Church Resource Ministries Global Missions organization that develops leaders. And so we're talking about trials and tribs, how the 20-80 rule or 80-20 rule about 80%. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We were talking about that. And we were talking about isolation and how pastors and leaders they need to have some place to go, and they need to be refilled and refreshed. And sometimes we feel isolated because you don't want everybody to know. It's like, don't air your dirty laundry. So that's what we were talking about, and now we're going to go forward. So, Mark, I have a question for you. Mark, are you there?
I am here.
Hi. So the question is this. Working with different Christian communities around the world, what are you seeing as the greatest challenges leaders, and for that matter, those that serve, are up against? What are the biggest challenges?
That's a great question, Sue. I would say primarily two things. There's a real need for focus and courage, especially in the more challenging seasons of life. So when I speak about focus, it's in terms of seeing life through the lens of God's perspective. His assignment, his calling that he has for us. And there's this growing awareness of God's involvement in our lives and really his invitation to what he's called us to do and be. When we talk about courage, it's really relating, I guess the best way that I could explain it, you're all in. It's living a life where I'm fully engaged with Christ and the life that he's invited me into. So in other words, I'm actively trusting God. I'm engaging the opportunities that he sets in front of me with a sense of conviction. I'm not withdrawing into the safety of what we've always known. We talked about a little bit about that in the first half of the segment. But being willing to risk, and to risk for God. So when I say risk, I'm not just talking about, you know, being thoughtless or presumptuous, but really being intentional about how we do life as a response to the relationship that we share with God and one another. So
I think God calls us to step out of our comfort zone.
Absolutely.
And I think that when we ask, that we will receive, and that he gives us the gifts, and he gives us what we need when we need it. I find sometimes that in my trials or things that are, you know, tough times, that, you know, I sometimes say to God, you know, you say you won't give me more than I can handle, but it sure feels like it right now. And so with that, you know, it's like, okay, God gives me what I need. He opens the door, closes the window, whatever it takes to get it done. And part of this is other people. Are the people, it's the door.
Yeah.
It's like he puts people in our path. He puts people or resources such as your organization that come alongside, walk with, and give us help, support. If your brother stumbles, if your brother falls, be there to pick him up, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We are called, aren't we? Each one of us, we are ministers, and we are called to serve one another. And so that's what your organization does.
Yeah, we really do. We invite leaders into a relationship where we really are part of the journey with them in terms of responding to the current season that they find themselves in. There is the need for the safe places, as we talk about, but there's also the need for to be able to retool, to sharpen our tools, so to speak, and to come to refocus on what God's priorities and his present-day assignment are for each of our lives.
So the vision, In the business world, you know, they say you need to have a vision statement. You need to have a statement. You need to understand what the goals are so that you can stay focused on the goals. Because how do you know if you've arrived if you don't know what the original goal was to begin with? And that does take focus.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Sue. You know, in the business sector, it's totally understandable that you need a vision to know where you're going. But it's curious, as we interact with among various Christian communities, this idea that, well, God actually has a vision and a plan for our lives as well. And at times, there's great specificity, or there's a real focus that he's seeking to bring us into to engage his task. It's not just a matter of aspiring to be a better person. There's actually more to it. There's a script that God's kind of written out in ways and invites us to be part of. And it's a pretty interesting conversation when we begin to consider the implications of that.
Correct. So we get help from resources around us. We ask God to come in our lives and give us what we need. And we need to be vulnerable enough and transparent enough to let people in. And I have a feeling that, and I know this firsthand, as leaders, it's very difficult to let that guard down. And you don't have to let everybody know your business, but you need to know that there's a safe place, a place where you can go and you can get the support, encouragement, to get what you need in order to be of help to others.
Yeah.
And that's difficult, especially, you know, if you've got a lot of people needing you, it's very difficult to say, hey, you know what, I'm having a weak moment or I'm needing some help here. And even Jesus did that. He went into the desert. Why? Because he needed to get some rest. He needed to get focused.
Yeah, absolutely.
He needed focus.
Yeah.
Right.
And that focus really is something. It's living the life of balance. It's learning the rhythms of life, where there are times where there are great expenditures of energy and output, but there's other times where we need to withdraw and re-energize, rejuvenate. And a lot of that has to do with our connection with God. How is it that we best relate to him and find our reserves being filled back up, you know, both emotionally and spiritually speaking? And these are often things where we just let them go. But I think that more and more we're finding the need to actually be intentional about those aspects of our lives.
And us as Christians, we need to be focused on God's plan.
Sure.
This is KKLA 99.5 FM. This is the Sue Free Show, and we're talking to Mark Gozer. So, Mark, how do you typically begin the conversation with people about spiritual development or the kind of transformation God wants to bring? How do you start, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I mentioned when we talked about courage and focus, it's a necessity, especially in those more challenging seasons of life. So if I could, I'd like to go back there.
Okay.
Just as there's natural seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall, we get that. There's really, there are seasons and there's a sense of timing in our journey with God. Solomon spoke of it in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. I recall the passage in Acts 17. It also speaks of a timing, a set time as it relates to history unfolding, both in the lives of the people that God's created and actually the nations. So, in fact, sometimes it can be helpful to equate these seasons with certain patterns of growth and development in our spiritual journey. For instance, what comes to mind in John 15, Jesus uses that analogy when he speaks of bearing fruit. He talks about life in terms of a growth cycle of a fruit tree there in that particular gospel passage, that there's a time for pruning and there's a time for fruitfulness. So one of the questions that might be appropriate for us to ask is, you know, how might it be helpful to know what season of life I'm in?
So you would ask that question to another person, or you're asking yourself that, where you are in your own personal life?
Oh, I think, well, we could just brainstorm real quickly, Sue.
Okay.
What are some things that come to your mind when we ask the question, how would it be helpful for you to know what season of life you're in right now?
That's like a temperature gauge of where how we're feeling. So if we ask the question, it's like, how do we feel we're doing as far as God's purpose? Is that the question?
It would have to do with, in terms of when you look at your life, would you consider yourself in a place of springtime where things are blossoming and budding? Is this a time of fall where it's maybe more of a time of harvest, of reaping? Or do we find ourselves in maybe even a time of winter where... You know, there's not a lot of outward activity that's happening, that's visible and apparent, but there's still life, and the roots are there in the soil. So in those terms, when you think about that there are times where life is full of energy, things are going our way, and then there's times in life where we're meeting with an incredible amount of resistance. And we might find ourselves in a season, like you had mentioned earlier, a season of isolation, where we're removed from just where we feel we should be, and yearning for what God has in store for us. So
that's a question you would... I love that. I mean, I didn't get it until this last part when you were talking about the different seasons and what that means. Now I'm putting the visual with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've had people, when I explain what's going on in my life right now, they'll say, you're in a sweet spot. And I'm like, sweet spot? Doesn't feel so sweet,
mm-hmm.
you know? But they say, I'm in a sweet spot right now. And I'm like, okay, could you explain that a little better than that?
Yeah.
But then, you know, so you could actually ask that question, and a person could actually, once you explain it, because mm-hmm. I think the season thing is... That's really key to getting an understanding as to where we are in our journey. And I love that word journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a dancer, and not a lot of people know that, but I'm a dancer, and I was with my dance instructor.
Uh-huh.
And I'm frustrated because I'm so impatient with the learning process. I really want to be there. I already want to make it happen, and I want to be better,
and
part of the thing is the journey. And he stopped me because I was getting so frustrated that I wasn't getting what he was trying to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to get it the first time, you know. I'm just impatient with myself. And he stopped me, and he looked me in the eyes, and he just said, you will never be right here again. And where you are right now is where you are.
Wow.
Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the journey, because you will never be right here again.
Yeah.
And I think some of us, you know, at times when we say, you know, God, you're not supposed to give me more than I can handle, but it feels like it right now. Sometimes that's a really nice place. And I think I just answered my question about the sweet spot. But, you know, I think I just did. But it doesn't feel like it sometimes, because I want to get ahead. I want to be more. I want to do more. I want to strive for more.
Yeah.
And the journey, it's not really getting, it's not when you get there, it's the journey getting there.
Absolutely.
And life is a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Our life is a journey, and it does have seasons.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about Ecclesiastes, I think of the song Turn, Turn, Turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time there is a season, turn, turn, turn.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I loved that song when I was growing up, and I didn't realize that it was biblical. I didn't realize that it was from Scripture. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this song even more now, you know? Because I didn't realize that it came from the Bible. And when I was reading the Scriptures, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a song.
Yeah.
So that was really neat.
Absolutely.
So
Sue,
let
me ask you this. So what might be the advantages? Think about this. You're in a winter season, but you have the expectations of what you typically would experience in the summer.
Okay.
So what might be some of the parallels that you could draw from that in your life?
Preparation, maybe.
Okay.
Preparation for what's to come.
Sure.
Expectation. I like summer better than winter. That's just me, though.
Absolutely.
But I love summer. I love the warmth. I love the sun. I love the water. I love everything that comes with the summer.
Okay, so summer for you, it sounds like is it's a time in life that's equated with fun. It's being outdoors. It's being fully alive.
Yes.
So if you're in the winter season and you have that expectation, chances are you're going to be disappointed.
Yes, if I was expecting it to be 100 degrees out and it's wintertime, yes. We don't have the four seasons in California as much, so California is a great place.
Yeah.
But except for that I like snow skiing too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like fun in the snow too.
This is what I'm thinking, is that if we have an understanding of where we're at, if, let's say, in summer and fall is typically a time of harvest, in speaking in natural terms, but I'm in a winter season myself and I don't realize that there are seasons to life, I could have incredible expectations for fruitfulness right now. I want the results now. You know, we're a microwave society,
yeah.
But not realizing, no, wait a minute, that's not for right now. It's up and coming, and it's not to be a point of discouragement, but it brings a point of sobriety, a point of it's kind of a reality check, and it might alleviate some of the frustration or confusion. It also might help me to pace myself in really prolific periods of life, the times when there is that high energy output. Realize that it's for a season. There might be opportunities that God's opened up.
That's really good.
So I think it's part of living that focused life, and I think that knowing what season I'm in enables me to be more courageous.
I'm going to give that some thought. And if you're listening, I know you are listening, I would suggest that you do the same. You know, what season are you in your own personal life, in your own personal walk? If you're just tuning in, this is 99.5 KKLA. This is the Sue Free Show, and we're talking to Mark Gozer. And, wow, I'm... sometimes, you know, when you ask questions, it's like, okay, wow, where am I? So I'm really going to give that some thought, Mark, and I really can't answer you right now.
Sure.
Because I think I'm in between seasons.
Yeah.
I think that's where I am right now.
Yeah, and there are those transitional points in our life. So beyond even this awareness of these specific seasons to life, the Bible makes it clear that there's really specific activities or plans that are part of God's assignment for our life. So... more specifically for you and I, there are these plans and purposes that involve this sense of timing.
Uh-huh.
Jeremiah 29:11 is a real familiar passage for many Christ followers. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future." Well, I mean, more than just kind of a an encouraging thought, gee, God's thinking about me, which is wonderful in and of itself, there are actually specific activities that he's called us to engage. And Paul talks about this in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter. He says that you're God's workmanship. You're his creation, created in Christ to do good works. And this is the part that really just makes me come alive. It says, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
That is an amazing scripture.
So, I mean,
it is.
What if we actually believe that there were specific activities or works that he's planned for us to do? How would we posture ourselves?
Right. And in Ephesians 3:20, it says God says he does supernaturally far above and beyond that which we dare to ask or even think.
Yeah.
So his thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. His plans are bigger than our plans.
Absolutely.
And it's very important that we do our part. And one time I was sleeping and dreaming, and I woke up, and there was one word that just came to mind. And it must have been something where I went to bed, and I was thinking about something, and I woke up, because my brain keeps working even when I'm sleeping. I don't know about yours, but mine does. And I do my best thinking when I'm sleeping.
Good
and I wake up, and it's like, wow, I have answers to all kinds of issues, because I went to bed thinking about it, and I woke up with an answer. And it was, the word was, prepare. Be prepared. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you mean by that? Be prepared. And you know, in I know in the Bible it says be prepared with a word. You know, if somebody has a question, you know, have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have, I tell my employees, you know, sometimes, you know, they'll come to me with a problem. I said, you know what? When you come to me with a problem, have a solution. It might not be the right solution, but at least it lets me know you were thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Because we have to be thinking. God gave us a brain and we need to be thinking. So be prepared. And I'm like, I'm not sure what all that means. I just know that, you know, for lack of knowledge, people perish.
Yeah.
And so we have to get the knowledge. So how do we get the knowledge? First of all, we need to know what it is we need to know. But we don't know what we need to know, right?
Yeah.
Because what we don't know can hurt us.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is look at, okay, here's the situation. Here we are in this journey, let's say season. I like this. This is a whole new thought process for me.
Sure.
But we're in this season, okay, and we need to know what God's plan is for us, and we need to stay focused on the vision or the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ask God to guide us. Obviously, I ask God because he knows better than I do, for
mm-hmm.
sure. I mean, he's proven that over and over again with me.
Yeah.
So then we need to get prepared, and how we do that is by figuring out what the resources are or what we need. And helping us do that are people like you and organizations like yours that people can go to, knowing that it's a safe place, knowing that they can get guidance.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We're not here alone. And the isolation that people feel, especially in leadership, it's like I had a gentleman, an employee of mine, who said, you know, you don't have to answer to anybody. And I looked at him with such surprise. You know, you don't have to answer to anybody. And I looked at him and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I've got 50 odd employees and I answer to each one of you because my decisions affect their lives. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? Our decisions, the choices we make every minute of every day, because we have a choice every minute of every day. There's choices to be made. Are we going to put our seatbelt on? Are we not? Are we going to speed? Are we not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we going to eat that cake or are we not? Okay? We have decisions. We have choices. Are we going to smash our finger and cuss or are we going to say ouch? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have choices in everything we say, everything we do, what we listen to, who we surround ourselves with. Those are decisions we make.
Yeah.
And they do affect us in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. And our responsibility and the discipline we have should help us and guide us to do the right thing at all times and to surround ourselves with people that are going to give us the good resources and advice that we need in order to move forward in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
KKLA 99.5, this is Sue Free Show. If you've missed out, I'm so sorry. We're talking with Mark Gozer. How does someone get in contact or how does someone get involved? They need contact information. So what would be the contact information in order to get more information from you? Because we only have like 2 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple things. Let me give you an email real quickly. We have several workshops that we provide, not just for pastors, but for everybody. Even if you're don't consider yourself to be the professional Christian. And I'm not sure they're really, that's kind of a misnomer.
What is that?
Yes, exactly. AwakenLA is at gmail.com.
AwakenLA@gmail.com.
If you email me at that address, that's one of my emails. I'll be happy to get you more information about some of the workshops that we're doing. Awaken's designed to provide you with an awareness of how God's been at work shaping and equipping you to carry out his specific calling for your life here on earth.
Okay, that's really good.
And then if you're interested, if you're a pastor, please, or a Christian leader of some sort, you'd like some additional information about CRM, or more specifically, I'm involved in the refocusing process, you can, again, contact me at theawakenla@gmail.com, or you can go to our website at www.crmleaders.org, O-R-G. And we also have some other information. I'd be happy to get to you about the possibility of resourcing the needs that you're looking to have met.
So we're at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It was wonderful. Thank you, Mark.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. it's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.